stepping into the places that God is calling us. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the missionary journeys that Paul has been doing in the book of Acts. And this morning, we look at his last missionary journey. And it is the journey of Jerusalem to Rome, which are found in Acts 21 to 23. And it all starts with Paul arriving in Jerusalem and proclaiming that the risen Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the hope of Israel and the hope of the rest of the world. And as a result of his proclamations and his declaration of the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there is unrest and riots. Some people from Turkey had recognized Paul. They were in Jerusalem at the time, and they said to everyone there, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law in this place, and besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." There was an assumption that they had made. And the whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions, seizing Paul. They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. And while they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and some soldiers and ran down to the crowd. Where the rioters saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up, arrested him, ordered him to be bound in chains, and then asked who he was and what he had done. Paul is taken into protective custody. Obviously, to the Roman commander, Paul must have been a bad man, because why would the crowds rise up against him? And so, in protective custody, they whip him away. And it's at that point where Paul drops a bombshell on the commander. Because Paul reveals that he is a Roman citizen. Now, I suppose having been beaten up and almost killed by the mob, Paul most likely didn't look the part of a respectable Roman citizen. And the Roman citizen may have sort of guessed that, well, if Paul was a citizen, then somehow he brought it on the cheap. And therefore, I'll get one over him. Because at that stage, you could actually buy citizenship to be a Roman citizen. Up until then, Roman citizenship was given to people who excelled for the empire. But there was one group that was above them all, and that was those who were born a citizen. And someone born a citizen was far more prestigious than buying it or earning it. So that meant that Paul, who was born a citizen, was part of the most prestiged. Paul may at least had one parent, or probably other family members still living in Rome, and relatives who could have been very powerful people. And so all of a sudden, the Roman commander is afraid, because he was the one who ordered that Paul be bound in chains, which was illegal to do to Roman citizens who had not been condemned. And so when news reaches him that the people of Jerusalem were planning to kill Paul, what he does is at night, with a huge contingent of soldiers, whips Paul out of Jerusalem and protects him. See, Paul's declaration of citizenship puts actually into motion the journey that will take him to Rome, that will take him to the very center of the power of the world. This is the first time that it's recorded that Paul plays this trump card. And all the other times when he finds hardship and been beaten and is dealt with by an unruly crowd, it's not ever mentioned that he ever plays this card. This is the only time that Luke records that he plays this trump card. So Paul's arrest and imprisonment is not a setback, but rather it's an opportunity that Paul has now to preach the gospel to the people and places that he otherwise would not have had access to. He gets to preach to the whole Sanhedrin, the whole ruling council of the Jewish people. He gets to proclaim the kingdom of God and the risen Jesus. He gets to stand before Governor Felix, and then Governor Festus. And finally, he gets to stand before King Agrippa, and there proclaiming the gospel. You see, playing this trump card was stepping into the place that God was calling him to be, to set in motion the course and the journey that God was calling him to go. When we reflect on Paul's life, it's not an easy one. And you have to wonder why. Why did he do it? See, the thing that kept Paul going was hope in God, and hope in God's love for the whole world. And he says to those in power, he says, I stand here on trial on account of my hope in the promise that God made to our ancestors, the promise of the coming Messiah, who has indeed come in the risen Jesus, who is the hope of the world. Now, when Paul presents his case to the people and the rulers of the people, he does not come with great theological arguments, and he does not come with incredible debating skills. When he stands before these very powerful people, what he does is that he shares his own conversion story. He shares the good and the bad. He shares how he started out persecuting the church, and that while he was on this mission of hatred and persecution, he has this incredible encounter with Jesus, and he becomes a follower of Jesus. Paul owns where he has come from. He owns his past. He does not deny it. But he moves on from there. He moves on to tell how Jesus now owns him, how Jesus has transformed him into someone new. Acts 26 is the third time that Luke mentions Paul's conversion, because it's an amazing story of someone's life who has been transformed. Now, as Paul is standing before all these very mighty and powerful people, Paul does not come from a stance of defense, but he does go on the offense. He doesn't offer legal defense or rebuttal of the charges brought against him, but he's not silent also, because he does stand tall. He takes the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, speaking not in legal terms, but in personal terms, his conversion story as a witness to the transformation power of Jesus. That if Jesus can transform him, then Jesus can transform the world. Paul's faith journey begins with him in the unimportant backwaters of Judea, and it ends in the very heart of the power of the empire, Rome. I'm banking it's not a life journey that he would have chosen. But as he constantly sought God's guidance on what his next step should be, he finds that it is to be Rome and the opportunities that it gives. Now, once in Rome, not even prison hinders him. He arrives battered and bruised. Just to get to Rome, he went by boat. He experiences a shipwreck and the hardship that goes with that. He gets bitten by a snake, a venomous one. Everybody sits around waiting for him to die. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and then they get bored and go do something else because God was with him. And while he is in Rome, in the heart of an oppressive empire, he proclaims a gospel that brings justice. He proclaims a gospel that sets captives free. And he talks about the kingdom of God and a risen Jesus. And while he is there, he welcomes anybody who would come to him. Jew, Gentile, free, Greek. Whoever would come and talk, he was open to talk to them. His home, his gospel, his word was inclusive. No one excluded. Throughout the book of Acts, Luke has shown that the power of the Jewish authorities and that the might of the Roman Empire is no match to the power of God revealed in Jesus. And it's still true today. The powerful of this world is no match to the good news of the gospel. It is no match to the power of the kingdom of God, and it is no match to the transformative power of the risen Jesus. Now, Luke doesn't reveal what happens to Paul in the end. Because, you see, Paul is not the focus of the book of Acts. Paul is not the hero of the whole story. The hero of the story is Jesus, the risen, enthroned Lord of Lords, who has been with his people through all the trials and the hardships that they faced. It's the risen Jesus who was guiding them, directing them, empowering them, walking with them as they lived out the kingdom of God in contrast to the world that was around them. And here's the secret. The book of Acts continues to be written today. Because as we share our stories of walking and following the risen God, we add to the story of the church. And as we step into the places that God is calling us, sharing our encounter with Jesus, with those who are around, we talk to them about how we've been transformed by Jesus. And that gives hope to those who hear us that they too can be transformed by the power of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we don't have all the answers and we don't need all the answers. In those key times for Paul, all he did was speak the story of his life and the power of the Spirit to transform and renew and forgive. We're called to do the same. Not to be great theologians, but just people who have encountered you and who tell other people about that encounter. Every day, our lives and the work that you do within us adds to the book of Acts. The book of the church that will not be complete until the day you return. May we celebrate the chapter of our lives in the book and say, Lord, you have been good to us. You have walked with us, empowered us, guided us, led us. Even in times of hardship and trial, you have been there and you have been faithful. This we declare in Jesus' name. Amen.